Edition of Sean and Bobby live here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. It is, thankfully, one of the final two Cowboy Mondays left. As I'm Sean Sharif alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. Chop will be back at some time. I'll wait for him to tell me 12 hours before. We got Peyton and Caitlin live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. No, Chop will be back on Thursday after the New Year's celebration. Welcome back from Philadelphia.
Oh, thank you. My favorite city. Love it out there. And it was, it's we just got to get through one more week without me having to shave my head.
Well, okay, what is the shave the head
If they part? Won more than seven games, I'd have to shave my head bald on the air.
Oh.
So it comes down to next week.
Oh, yeah. That would be absolutely fantastic. Do you know what the early spread is for the Commanders in Arlington?
Oh, I have. Given now that there may not be a lot, quote unquote, for Washington to play for, I have no idea how Vegas is going to view them.
And how does your wife view the possible bet?
I'd probably have to wear a hat for several weeks before she would look at me.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So you'd be like RJ in the house.
In the bedroom, too. Yeah, just wearing a hat the whole time.
Commanders favored by 3 right now.
Yeah, that feels like they're expecting the Commanders to rest people then. Or just not have a whole bunch of it. Because, I mean, Dallas without CeeDee Lamb and everything else that we've seen, it's I wouldn't think that they would only be 3-point favorites.
The Eagles clinch the NFC East. They clinch at least the number 2 spot. We ended up getting Trey Lance against Tanner McKee at points and times in this game after Kenny Pickett suffered the broken ribs. This thing was kind of close early on, and then the explosion to 24-7 at the half with 17 second-half points. For Filthy, the Cowboys, with 3 first-half turnovers. Mike McCarthy was apparently so upset. He didn't want to do the Pam Oliver halftime interview, and he was cursing about the turnovers as the Eagles scored on 5 straight drives. Bye-bye, see you later.
Yeah, this one, it was funny to watch, too, because they didn't look like they were having a ton of trouble with Saquon Barkley early.
Yeah.
Like, they were pretty much controlling Barkley in the first half, and so it's like, okay, just don't let Pickett beat you. And they weren't even letting Pickett beat them. They were letting Cooper Rush beat them. Cooper Rush, just a lot of turnover issues, some bad throws.
I did 2-2-2 in my mind. 2 really bad rush picks, 2 C.J. Gardner-Johnson interceptions, and then 2 backbreakers from Devontae Smith. It's 2 from Rush, 2 from C.J., and then 2 from Devontae, even though the second one didn't end up being a touchdown. They got it down to the 1.
Yeah, if I were to say there's a pie, we know the Cowboys love pies. If there's a pie and you were to take yesterday's loss and take blame, how much of that pie is going to be taken up by Cooper Rush and Andrew Booth?
Oh,
90% of it, it felt like. That's probably an exaggeration because it is a team game, but by gosh, it sure felt like those were the 2 that lost you the game. In a 41-7 game, you don't normally feel like that's on 2 people, but it felt like it was on 2 people yesterday.
Mike McCarthy saying the T word, always going to cost you.
I mean, -4, I think it's obviously is the telltale of the football game. I'm very disappointed. We all are. You know, felt like this was an excellent opportunity that we were prepared for. But yeah, -3 at halftime was a real kick in the ass. I think clearly I thought our defense was put in tough situation. You know, points off turnovers and really the tough part for us. You know, the giveaways were careless. I mean, those are things that we got to be better. And then we had obviously the one on the long drive there in the second half. So then they got going with their run game, which they do best. I really, really felt like our guys had a chance to, go win this today, and game got away from them. And like you said, I think your question was the answer. I mean, -4, you can't win games like that. Stay in games, -4.
You know, before things did get out of control, I was getting ready to tweet. I had it in the back of my mind. Cowboys are out coaching Philadelphia. They're doing a nice job here with game management, managing the game and how you need to keep things in control. You've handled Saquon. The Eagles ran their fewest amount of plays in a first quarter this season. That's going to totally be forgotten about with this game. They ran six plays and gained 14 yards due to Mike Zimmer's defense and some ball control offense to start this thing off.
Yeah, what was it? The first, because of that pick six, it was two drives back-to-back for Dallas. So I think it was like 10 minutes of game clock had gone off before Philadelphia touched the ball, which means the rest of the way, they outdid Dallas in time of possession 32-17. Because they ended up winning time of possession by 5 minutes, even though they were down 10 minutes to zero at one point. And a lot of that obviously was, all right, let's lean on Saquon Barkley. Let's just try and get him a record. Let's feed him 30 times. And it took off a lot of time off of the clock. But yeah, this was yesterday early on. I thought, okay, they're moving the ball well. They're getting downfield. These first two drives, they got down the field well. I have no idea what Cooper Rush was looking at when he threw the first pick to CJ Gardner-Johnson. No clue.
Yes.
And because of that, it's like, okay, if you don't have that, I think they were on track for two straight scoring drives. Like, they were moving the ball effectively, and then after that, it felt like they were a little reckless passing the ball downfield and trying to push things. It's like, why are you just not leaning into what Dowdle's been giving you?
Yeah, I heard Broadus and Walchuk critical of the 3rd-and-1 to Mingo with the deep. Look, I don't give a crap at that point, okay? I'm like, your season's over and done. You want to try a 61-yarder? Who freaking cares? Put them out there. Have a little bit of fun. 3rd-and-1, you want to go deep? Whoop-de-doo. So you're not trying for a 13-play drive. I don't care. I'm not going to sit there and kill McCarthy or the offensive staff for that. The second rush interception was really bad as well. You're on your own 41, 3rd-and-6. There ended up being three guys in coverage. That ball was returned to the Eagles' 35, and then Devontae put it on Booth again for 50, and Pickett scores as the half expires. Ball game 24-7.
Did you feel like watching this though?
Not I just to kill my. Oh, never mind.
Not just. Come on, we gotta have the Twitch up. You can't say that. Did you feel like watching the first two, three and outs, and the way Dallas moved the ball? Were you like, oh, Dallas? Well, it feels like Dallas is going to win this game after two series. Like not just the way that you obviously had the pick six, but
no,
they go three and out back to back. It didn't look like Kenny Pickett was going to be able to do anything, and it looked like they were, all right, we're keyed in on Saquon, and we're going to be able to neutralize this. And it's just, I hadn't felt a game shift so quickly to where it's like you look up and you're like, man, this felt like it was 7-7, and now it's 24-7. How did this happen?
Yeah, never. After the first two drives, as I like, they're going to win. It's a feeling out process. Like, okay, this could be a little bit interesting here. This could be a little bit interesting, and let's see what's going to take place. But eventually, things work out. I love the whole "did they not play for McCarthy" narrative. I heard about your rant, your famous rant. Now, I guess that's your number one big radio moment that happened on Friday. When you were talking about the standard and ranting and raving yourself on Mike McCarthy and the fan base, and did not see a lot of that yesterday, that they must absolutely hate Mike McCarthy now after putting forth that effort. Choppy thought they quit. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
On our group text where he's like, well, they've obviously definitely quit now. And I wonder if RJ's going to – I didn't respond to that on the group text because I didn't agree with it. But I wonder if RJ's going to hold on to that in his McCarthy assessment for this offseason with this decision that's coming up here. And what did Mike say about old 8 days? I didn't feel like I saw quit. I'm just seeing, as you said it, during the first quarter of the season or after the first quarter, we're seeing a bad football team with no depth just get outworked and worn down. I didn't feel like I saw quit. How do you define quit? I define quit as olaying, not wanting to make tackles, making business decisions, people running half-assed. There's a Micah Parsons play that Tolo sent me on Twitter where he thought Kenny Pickett was going to roll left. He ended up keeping the ball and holding it. I don't know. How do you define it? I don't feel like I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, typically what I look for when I look for quit is it's more body language, and it's effort and body language are the biggest parts of it. Are you pulling up over the middle? Are you not wanting to go over the middle of the field on a bit? Like, no, I'm not going to get hit by a safety for this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this. Are you having a bunch of missed tackles that clearly look like, I kind of tried to make something happen.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, that's what it looks like. And I didn't see that yesterday. I just saw you weren't very good. And, yeah. And Philadelphia's better than you.
Tyler Smith wanted to address it afterwards as Bobby was in the Cowboy locker room.
After kind of getting some traction and riding yourself a little bit, winning 4-5 and to be competitive in these games? Just how discouraging to have this pop up again after the way you've been playing?
I mean, it's extremely hard, I think, for everybody. But one thing I can definitely say is nobody on our sideline quit. Like, not one person, you know, threw in a towel, folded, you know, started pointing fingers or any of that. So I can definitely say, you know, our guys, just one-of-a-kind guys. I mean, we're going to come in, we're going to work. The result wasn't nearly what we wanted today. But at the end of the day, we got one more opportunity next week. That's all we can focus on.
What else was it like there in the locker room and at the stadium?
I will say, they know they're out. Like, it's not like...
Well, yeah, we got the official word last week.
Like, yeah, I know what I'm saying.
We all knew that they're out.
I didn't need to...
Except for Jerry sometimes when he's hopping and skipping down the hallway after getting a win.
I didn't need to know to be able to tell after that. Like, because it's... They were, like, bummed, like, man, we lost. But it clearly didn't have the same weight or gravity because it doesn't... It's not the same sort of thing right now. But, yeah, a lot of guys wanted to just get out of there. You could tell they were beaten and bruised, probably had their pride a little bruised. But yeah, it was a, you know, a down locker room, a dejected locker room, but also kind of like, yeah, we just got to get this season finished.
Yeah.
But I thought it was important what Tyler Smith said there, where you heard the setup there, the question from David Moore, which doesn't ask about quit at all. There's nothing implied there about quit, but for Tyler Smith to just, yeah, it's tough, but let me address this. I think that's because we were talking about it in the text and Choppy was like, man, if he's even saying that sounds like they're quitting.
Yeah.
Because he feels he needs to address it. It's like, I didn't take it that way. I think when you listen to him, that's clearly just a media savvy player who's like, this is going to be a narrative. People have asked about it. People have talked about, have you quit yet?
Because of Pat Doney's Sportscaster Camp, Tyler Smith, an annual participant.
Yeah, Pat was the one who was able to get walked over there and was like, Tyler, you got a few minutes for us? And Tyler's like, yeah. And then, like, they sat there and were just BSing for
Was it Pat?
Oh, yeah. No. Pat and Tyler are good. But Tyler, I think... Tyler was media savvy enough to recognize this will be something people will probably say. And he wanted to get out in front of it instead of just, no, if nobody's going to ask me about it, I'm going to say something about it. And I actually thought that was a really good example of Tyler Smith growing and being a leader.
All is not lost, though, yesterday, my friends, because the Dallas Cowboys started off the morning at number 15 with their draft pick. And when I head on over to old Tankathon, we moved up two spots, Pay.
Two spots.
15 to 13. And the most entertaining part of my day was keeping track of this and watching the New York Giants fall out of the number one spot all the way down to four. It was three initially after their win over the Indianapolis Colts, knocking Indy out and sending Pat McAfee into a frenzy. It ended up four when the waiting and the math and all the division was done. New England right now has the rights to Travis Hunter, you would think, followed by the Tennessee Titans at two, the Cleveland Browns at three, the New York Giants at four, Jacksonville at five. So this was the most entertaining part of my football Sunday until the game last night.
Oh, for me too. Being right is my drug. I love a big old line of right.
What were you right about?
Oh, if New England's picking number one, Shedeur Sanders is not going number one.
Oh, God.
Will Chambers is going to hear from me relentlessly when that happens, when Travis Hunter goes number one.
Keep losing your voice. 877.
It's already gone.
Yo, what's this from? It's allergy season again.
This is part of why I was so irritated last week. And hour four, I was worn down and I just snapped. It was because I was starting to feel sick and it lingered all the way into Christmas. And so, yeah, now it's just, I've been coughing so much, I've lost my voice.
Hit us up on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Shreve, Cowboys Insider, back from Filthy. Bobby Roberto Bell with Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey sponsor of the NFL. It is your Cowboys report card. Let us know if you have any Star Ups or do you just want to make it nothing but negative with Star Down next.
And Rush is going to throw a fade, left side to the end zone, leaping up. Is it caught?
Tolbert,
touchdown. Jalen Tolbert. He takes the team lead, and the game's about to be tied.
The team lead? Brad Sham, Babe Laufenberg with a call here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Sean Shreve back with you alongside Cowboys Insider Bobby Roberto Bell. Choppy will be back later in the week after the New Year's celebration. We got Peyton and Kaitlin live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube.
He is the team leader in touchdowns now. He has seven this year.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. I heard Wolchuk say third straight week for Jalen Tolbert. And that leads us into Star Down, Star Down, Star Up, Star Down, whatever you want, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey sponsor of the National Football League. And that tied it at 7. It was kind of a weird throw where it just seemed like it ended up in the chest of Jalen Tolbert. But that was a hell of a response there from Cooper Rush and the Cowboys offense after throwing the pick six. And that's Jalen Tolbert playing with a broken finger, tying the game at 7.
Yeah, you end up, I think you watch a lot of Cooper Rush and you think to yourself, that was a weird throw. And so, yeah, so a lot of those end up that way. But look, yeah, 3 straight weeks with a touchdown. The thing, I was talking with somebody yesterday.
Well.
Yeah, just somebody that gets a well now. I was talking to somebody yesterday in the press box and we were just discussing Tolbert. And they said, I'm not going to out them because I don't know if they say this publicly. But they were like, you know what? He's like, I don't think the Tolbert hate is totally deserved. He's like, that's my hot take that if I said it, you know, consistently enough. He's like,
someone should put their name next.
No, I think he has. I don't know. So yeah. I'm not gonna. If he's got that as a take, he's coming with this week. I don't want to throw it out there for him. But he was saying that, you know, he's not a black hole. Like, he makes plays for you. He had the Pittsburgh touchdown. He had that touchdown yesterday. He had the touchdown against Tampa Bay. Like, he is somebody who has made plays. It's just, yeah, is he a prolific, like, 80 catch guy? No. Has he lived up to his draft position? Probably not. But he's not an awful football player, is the way he looked at it.
I thought you were suffering from jet lag on the way back when you sent Star Up, Star Down. You put Jalen Brooks, and I went in box score. I was like, no, he meant Jalen Tolbert. And then I asked you this morning to clarify. No, you're still going with Jalen Brooks.
Jalen Brooks, looking a 41-7 game. I think any Star Up could be questioned.
I didn't even realize Jalen Brooks played. He had one catch for 12 yards on one target, and you're going Star Up.
So when you are eliminated, part of what do we want to see these final
Wait, teams? Who did you say before the year that you believed in more, Brooks or Tolbert?
Started with Tolbert, changed to Brooks.
Okay. Now it makes sense. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I started with Tolbert. So this is still me admitting I'm wrong. See how I turned that around on you?
Go.
Brooks, he's somebody who I like the competitiveness. I like the way that the last two training camps he's shown when we're out there at those practices, he's the best ball bag. He's the best bad ball catcher.
Best ball bag.
He's the best bad ball catcher on the team in the training camp sessions he has been. He's somebody who adjusts to the ball really well. He's tough. He's probably the best contested catcher right there with CD.
He had one catch for 12 yards.
No, I'm just talking about in general when you watch the way
Okay, this isn't generalities from training camp, Star Up, Star Down. Yes, this is from the Eagle game.
It is in this sense. When we're watching these games where they're eliminated, I need to see, all right, the guys who are getting opportunities to play now when they're out of contention, who's actually building on things and showing me something for next year? Jalen Brooks in very limited time, that first pass, he has a really great route. Probably the best route anybody ran yesterday on the team was this first down catch that he made. And I'll show it to you when we get to the break. The way he sells the vertical, the way he snapped back on the hitch and then jumped up and attacked the football and came back down. And then the very next play was the Turpin stumble where he almost scored on the carry. And Brooks, the very next play after running that route, does a fantastic job running towards the center of the field and picking off the safety and opening it up to where if Turpin would have scored, Brooks would have been the block we were talking about. And so I thought, just when I see those little samples of, all right, he's starting to put it together, because there was the catch before halftime, the 41-yarder against Washington. There was the touchdown catch against Carolina in the end zone. Like, I'm starting to see enough of these things where I'm going, okay, in small pockets, he's building this consistency that we've needed to see from him, where he could be a legitimate starting NFL receiver, I think.
The Star Down, obviously, is for Cooper Rush offensively. It's pretty obvious as well who gets the big Star Down on D.
Pickett in the gun. Snap is back. They rush him. He avoids the pressure. He throws the left side of the end zone. Wide open touchdown. Running away from Booth. Devontae Smith. The Eagles have regained the lead.
Andrew Booth. It was a rough one. And he had a penalty earlier on the drive, which I think Greg Olsen thought was questionable. Are you about to defend Andrew Booth?
No, I'm going to take it I'm definitely going to say Andrew Booth was terrible. But I'm going to take it a direction maybe that is a little off the beaten path. When you watch the Eagles clearly identify Andrew Booth, there he is, go after him. We're going to do this. Did you feel like Kellen Moore ever did that in Dallas?
I initially, just off the top of my head, I would say no.
I think there are a lot of days we come in here and go like, why don't you take advantage of this? Why don't you take advantage of this? Where we didn't feel like he would.
Like Zach and Broda started off with a little side shot towards Kellen Moore in the post game, saying that's the Kellen Moore we remember because they're coming out not running Saquon.
Right. Yeah. Which was that was a rough first three plays where it's like, yeah, let's go with Kenny Pickett three times on a rollout. But when you see Kellen Moore look for those matchups and attack them.
Yeah.
And you see certain things. Does that start make you questioning what is Dak seeing in his progressions? Like, is Kellen Moore trying to target certain things when he was here? And was Dak just not going to it? Is this a Dak read
problem?
Well,
all I heard was, you know, coverage dictates where you go. You don't dictate that yourself. Coverage dictates where you go. That was a big thing from Kellen all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you remember Mike McCarthy said Zach Martin to right tackle, that's fantasy football nonsense. He said that in 2020. And then since then, he said best five. The reason he said it was fantasy football nonsense is because Zach Martin didn't want to play tackle. And he was covering for Zach Martin. He was taking the arrows for it, which is admirable. It makes me wonder that when those questions come up, is Kellen Moore taking arrows for Dak? Or it's like, yeah, look, we wanted Dak to target certain things. He didn't do it. Like, I can only tell him. I can only.
Why would he not?
It's just if Dak in general reads something different or doesn't trust the progression to just go and target it, it may be that way. Where it could be designed, or that Kellen's intention is let's look for this opportunity, and it's just Dak's not going there with the progression.
Devontae scores the touchdown on Booth. Again, penalty earlier in the drive on Andrew, and then he gives up the 50-yarder to Devontae right before half. So big star down.
17 coverage snaps. He was targeted 7 times. 5 receptions allowed, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns, a 153.3 passer rating.
Woo!
And you remember, this was the first game he had to play a lot of snaps was against the Giants in week 4. And you remember, he was so bad in that game that's when they put Amani Oruwariye out there for the first time. It was because he couldn't cover anybody.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing what happens when he gets exposed out there again. But star up. I'm going to go. I'm digging deep in my bag.
Oh, here. Wait. Who had half a catch? Who had half a sack that Bobby's going to throw out awards to now after the Jalen Brooks Award?
Linval Joseph and his 2 tackles in this game is getting a star up because Saquon Barkley had problems running the ball in the first half.
Yeah.
This felt like a game where he was going to have 3 yards a carry. In fact, I think at halftime, he was at like 2 or maybe 1.9 or something. They were doing a good job. And when they would do a good job, it was Linval Joseph plugging up the middle and causing problems and disrupting things. And I thought when he was in there, he's been a good run defender all season. When he was in there in that game yesterday, which was a lot of those run snaps, they were great. In fact, I saw yesterday when he was on the field, Linval Joseph, they were allowing how many yards per carry? They were allowing 2.9 yards per carry on the 14 run snaps that he was on there. When he was off the field, they were allowing 5 yards per carry.
Hmm.
So Linval Joseph, I thought, was impressive. He's one of these under the radar veteran additions they made in training camp when they were kind of scrambling, who has really worked out.
My other star ups defensively were the linebackers with Kendricks and Leofau. Kendricks had a 3rd-and-3 tackle that forced a punt. No tush push taking place. 2 3 and outs to start. I had Kendrick's name next to a lot of those things that were taking place. And then Leofau, feels like Leofau gets away with a penalty every game. Feels like he got away with another one yesterday, but he was just sitting there flying around. And I noticed him. I also had a question mark on Deron Bland versus AJ until the touchdown that AJ threw into the stands that he later had to trade the signed jersey for, but this was all Devontae Smith and no A.J. Brown, and it felt like Deron Bland was the one that was responsible for that. So I had some star-ups defensively there.
And Bland was following him. So yesterday, wherever A.J. Brown went, they moved Deron Bland over there. So he was tracking him and did a good job. Late in the game, when it's kind of already out of hand, they get the one throw to the corner of the end zone that A.J. Brown doesn't get his second foot down, the mini OBJ catch that he had with the one hand that didn't count. And then they just go back to the well 2 plays later and go, all right, let's try it again. And it worked. And so, that wasn't great near the end. But overall, I thought Deron Bland played well.
Star down to the show and fan favorite.
So the Cowboys start at the 30. Play action fake and a bootleg to the right by Rush. And he threw the ball into a crowd.
Ball's out.
It looks like a catch and a fumble. And the Eagles believe they've got the ball at the Dallas 38.
Ferg with the fumble. Jake Ferguson right after a Devontae Smith touchdown. So Smith scores to make it 14-7. Ferg fumbles part of that second half a second quarter collapse. Second half, you could call it collapse as well. But Broadus and Zach were just saying, man, it just feels like, you know, an instance of Ferguson trying to do too much in what has been, and I thought Walchuk put it correctly, a letdown year for Ferguson following what happened last season.
There's something just not right about the connection between Cooper Rush and Jake Ferguson. Or not even the connection, just the no desire to look that way from Cooper Rush. I feel like when we talk about when backup quarterbacks step in, a lot of times we're talking about running backs and tight ends. Who's your safety blanket? Who's your security guy here? Ferguson has not been his security guy at all. These are Dak's, or these are Jake Ferguson's numbers in the games Dak played this year. 6 for 95, 7 for 49, 6 for 70, 3 for 11, 6 for 23, 7 for 71. Cooper Rush takes over. 4 for 24, 1 for 11, 3 for 32, 2 for 23, 6 for 40, 3 for 18. He was getting 5, 6 catches a game with Dak. Now it's down to about 2. And yesterday when they threw that pass to Mingo, Ferguson was open. Ferguson had broken towards the middle field, and he just couldn't get a look. That was the first time he finally touches the ball yesterday, was when he fumbles. And he's trying to make something happen, like you mentioned there. But it's been a disappointing year for Ferguson. He's been one of the little bit of letdown guys. I also think, given what we heard him saying about the concussion,
yeah,
and how that rattled him, I'm not surprised that maybe he's not playing at his best.
Where was Micah yesterday?
Twitter will tell you who's being held. And that was the problem. He was being held, and that's apparently.
I'm going to go for Micah.
I don't know if it was just an earlier game.
I don't know. I'm going to go as Micah for Halloween one year and just do the like this with the arm glued around my neck, which Twitter loves to point to, but I didn't notice him at all.
You need to have a shirt too that says we're a damn good football team as you're being held back. But no, he was not great in this game. He's definitely a star down for me. Didn't make enough of an impact rushing the passer when they really needed him to. And in run defense, he had a couple different plays. There were at least two, and I'll see it on post-hut today, but there were at least two plays I know on this one where he had bad angles and missed tackles, and it led to extra yardage. And so I thought Micah Parsons was that was probably his worst game of the year, I felt like. Now I may watch back and change my mind completely, because there have been a lot of games where he affects it more when I go back and look at it. But, yeah, I felt that this was a down game for him. And he looked like, Calvin Watkins pointed this out, he looked like he was a little banged up walking back to the locker. Not obvious with it, but definitely didn't look like he was 100%.
Star Up, Star Down is brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey sponsor of the National Football League. I know a couple of Tolos who stayed up late last night to drink a little extra Crown because the game went to overtime. It feels like 1991 all over again for the Commanders. And should we really be laughing at the Giants that much for screwing up the number one pick around the rest of the NFC East and the NFL on a Cowboys Monday next?
Two tight ends to the left. Here's the staff. He's going to throw for it. He does. Into the end zone.
What a catch.
Caught. Zach Ertz, who wants to go to the playoffs? Touchdown once again. They win it overtime. We'll see you in the postseason.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Is that B. Mitch? I don't know. Who's on that color commentary? Commanders Radio with the call, of course. They will be deciding whether Bobby Belt shaves his head live on air if they get the win. Oh, my God. This is better than moving up in the draft if that happens. I'm Sean Shreve. He's Cowboys insider Bobby Belt back from Philadelphia. This is Sean and Bobby here on a Cowboys Monday on 105.3 The Fan. What's up?
Chiafalo, when he heard that I was going to shave my head on the air, he was trying to adjust my bet. He's like, that's not enough. He's like, people wear bald. Like, that's not he's like, your hairline's already going back. He's like, you should have to shave the Broadus. You should have to shave the little, like, cul-de-sac circle or whatever on your head. He's like, that's a bet payoff.
This was awesome last night. Well worth staying up for. Penix versus Daniels in Washington. Kyle Pitts with an incredible touchdown catch to tie this thing up at the very end. They go into overtime, and congratulations to Dan Quinn leading the Commanders to 11 wins for the first time in DC since 1991. The Commanders are in. Of course, the Eagles yesterday clinched the NFC East. 11 wins, Bobby, and you still end up as a wild card out of your own division. This was a fun game.
Yeah, and this is a that's a fun team to watch. Like, this is one of the first times in forever that you watch Washington. You're like, it's enjoyable to watch them play football. And in a week where...
Yeah, because I found myself looking up a lot of dudes yesterday. I was like, who is Zacchaeus? I'm always looking to be like, could the Cowboys have drafted him? Did the Cowboys like him? Who is Zacchaeus? 8 for 85.
He was a wee little man, wasn't he?
Is that why you look back for Peyton?
Yeah, no.
See if he'd get your reference?
No. Who's talking to Mark. You saying I was looking up a lot of dudes yesterday.
Zacchaeus Chris Rodriguez Jr. I'm like, who the heck is this guy? Where did he come from? I've always loved Brian Robinson. And those are just the guys on the offense. As Jaden Daniels is running around for 127 yards on the ground. 227 through the air, 3 touchdowns, 127 on the ground.
Has Cliff responded? There was all those questions about, did they figure Cliff out in the last couple weeks? They've played better. It looks like they're trying to make Jaden Daniels run more. Or is this just Jaden Daniels is fully healthy again? Because when he got banged up there for a little bit, you could tell they were not trying to expose him. And I wonder if he's just healthier.
I don't know. I did feel like Bobby Belt yesterday checking out Cliff Kingsbury play design as Collinsworth did a nice job last night of breaking everything down. So you have that on that side. And then you have Michael Penix throwing his first touchdown ever in a big time spot. That was the Kyle Pitts who everyone told me, you know, I was right about Kyle Pitts, wrong about Bijan. Bijan is fantastic, no doubt about that. I wish Atlanta had remembered that in the second half of this game. But Bijan is different. Everyone said Kyle Pitts was different. He needs to get out of there, a fresh start, but he had the game-tying touchdown. That was Penix's first one in a huge, huge moment.
What did you think about him overall as a quarterback?
What I notice about Penix is what I love about him, the ball seems to come out really quick because when he hits his third step in the drop back, his fifth step, and you tell me if this is right or wrong from his college tape, I don't know. But when he hits that back foot, Bobby, on the drop back, the ball's coming out. And the ball's coming out downfield. I already knew about the deep ball because it was the best, most beautiful, accurate deep ball I've seen since Burrow. But I'm talking about 15-yard throws. I'm not talking about just bombs. Like, he's willing and able to throw the ball down the field, and it feels like the ball comes out on the back step, bam. And I'm like, man, he's not going to take as many sacks as a lot of these other rookies because of the timing of the ball coming out. He was off with his touch. Again, Collinsworth, I thought, did a phenomenal job last night saying, look, in the National Football League, when you have the mismatch of Kyle Pitts or you have Drake London, just put some touch under it. Throw it up as a jump ball. Put a little bit more touch, a little bit more feel, a little bit more loft, a little bit more hang time. And if he had like two or three of those throws back and did that, it would have been an even bigger night. But I was impressed. I was impressed with Penix. I mean, Penix, that was fun to watch those two.
Yeah.
As Mike Tirico said, have not had two rookie quarterbacks in primetime going at it with postseason implications in a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, he is, you're right. A lot of it is rhythm, timing, tempo for him. He does like to drop back, do the 7-step drop and push the ball down the field, but he absolutely is really good at just playing in rhythm and being in sync with his guys. The thing I kept thinking watching it was like, and he wasn't perfect yesterday by any means, but he was good, especially in the second half. I thought he got better as the game went on in general. But when you watch this, I think the thing with Penix is I look at that and I go like, this was bad on Atlanta that they didn't put him in here sooner. Like, because you really cost yourself with Cousins in that 3-4 weeks. Like, this is something they could have comfortably been in the postseason, figured out where they were going
to
be at.
I know, but you had to know. I mean, you're making a final decision on basically lighting $90 million on fire.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing with Cousins. Like, you're moving off of him now in the offseason. Mm-hmm. You had to know. Yes, for the purposes of this year, Atlanta's, I don't think, going to do anything major in the playoffs anyway, but you had to know, like, all right, we're done with this. We're done with this 13 games in. This is over with Kirk.
It's what were the teams choppy throughout a couple weeks ago where he said, was it Rams and 49ers are the two teams nobody wants to see in the playoffs during his NFL overreactions or not? Like, he asked us about that. I think Atlanta's one of those that makes sense. Because Atlanta is a team that you look at how many different weapons they have and the unknown of, like, how quickly is this going to come together for Penix? How comfortable does he get? And I don't think a team wants to find that out. I don't think a team wants to walk into the postseason and go, oh, he's figuring this out. That's not fun. I have no idea how to game plan for this guy. Like, we have to adjust now in the postseason. I think that Atlanta could be really dangerous if Penix starts to figure things out.
Happy for Dan Quinn?
Yeah. I've always I've always really liked Dan Quinn and think
you
really
can't
highly
not
of him.
Like him.
Yeah, he's great. And he's done a really good job too. I think we had talked about this offseason that there was nobody that there's probably not a better coach to oversee a transition from such a toxic era like the Snyder one than Dan Quinn. Like, he's going to come in there with positivity and he's going to come in there getting guys to believe and getting them to rally around. It's the reason why a lot of people felt like he was the next head coach here. It's because they felt like, man, he'd be such a rallying presence. They wouldn't quit. They'd be prepared. They'd come in locked in. He still has his own game management issues. He's had those for a long time. A lot of coaches do. But in general, yeah, thrilled for him. And I still think I'm glad he finally got a second chance, because there was a while there it felt like some teams were a little hesitant to go back to that well because of just how poorly things went at the end in Atlanta, where that locker room turned on him.
And bypassing on Belichick looks to be the right decision right now for the Commanders with what they did. Meanwhile, the number one enjoyable moment of the day. Am I overreacting to it?
Lock takes a snap, rolls right, hits it. Runs out of the tackle. He's at midfield. Down the right sideline to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Malik Nabers, 59 yards. And today has truly been a beautiful day in Malik's neighborhood.
Oh, gosh. Who was that?
Is that Bob Papa? It's one of the Papa brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Call him Big Papa.
Giants, I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to blow up Tim's pregame hits.
Yeah, Giants Radio with the call, Tim Collins, with his interviews that he schedules for the official Dallas Cowboys pregame show on the network. Drew Lock, Malik Nabers, Brian Daboll crushing the soul of New York Giant fans as they win a shootout with the Indianapolis Colts, sending Pat McAfee into an absolute tirade on social media. The New York Giants, with 1 week left in the season, regular season, fall from 1-4 with draft selection.
If you look at, this was an awful week for scoring. This was an awful week for offense. If you look across the NFL, these are some of the point totals from teams that lost. 10, 2, 3, 7, 9, 13, 10, 7, 3. Like, it was just a bet. If I would have told you the game that went 45-33 was Drew Lock and the Giants getting into a shootout with Flacco and the Colts.
Never.
Nobody would have believed it. But this is one of the more entertaining games to sit there and have up on the screen yesterday in the stadium, was just because you've got the game in front of you and then they've got a bunch of different ones up on the screen. But this was one of the more entertaining ones where it's like, oh, we've actually got fireworks here and he's pushing the ball downfield.
Drew Lock goes off. Malika Nabers gets to 1,000 yards. The Colts season officially ended, and it's easier for Joe Burrow and the Bengals now to make the postseason.
Ooh.
But let's focus on 1-4, because I have a couple of Tolos and Giant Meatballs all up in my text messages saying, doesn't matter, they're still going to get their quarterback. Okay. As Shador Sanders, I can't believe this story. Like, I still am like 15% doubting it. The story was Shador's playing catch and he's like, I know where I'm going in the NFL. You'll see the cleats in the bowl game. You'll see it. And then these New York Giant cleats were unveiled on social media. And I'm like, was he still wearing that? I even went to the game tape and I'm like, is he wearing the cleats? Like, what is it? Is it truly the red and the blue? Is this already in? Why would he come out and say this? New England, let's just give them Travis Hunter. Tennessee, they could take a quarterback off the board. Will Levis has not worked out. And are you telling me that the Cleveland Browns are not thinking about a quarterback? They restructured the Deshaun Watson stuff, which means he's probably back next year, but they have to be thinking post-Watson. So Tennessee, Cleveland, and then the Giants. And even if the Giants still get their quarterback, they still lost a position of power.
Yeah.
You're not going to take that enjoyment away from me. Yes, you can find Pat Mahomes in the middle of the round. Yes, you can find Micah Parsons. Yes, you can find CeeDee Lamb. But you had the position of power at one, and now you either have to hope, hold your breath, or move up to get who you want. And all that is stressful and painful for the New York Giants and their fans. So I love it.
If they win against the Eagles next week, which Now that Saquon Barkley's only 101 yards away, the Eagles might just say, all right, well, you're playing to get the record. If he was 180, probably not. But 101, yeah. If they win that game next week against Philly, then they can fall as low as eighth.
What?
In the draft.
Eighth?
They can still fall as low as eighth going 4-13 because of just how bad a quarter of the league is.
Chance to earn the number one pick now is 1% for the Giants, according to the ESPN analytics.
Yeah, so they went and screwed it up. But, like, here's the other thing is that you mentioned the – it's bizarre to see Shedeur Sanders very publicly wearing the Giants cleats. I'm surprised that NCAA doesn't get involved in some respect that says, like, you can't wear NFL team logos or anything like that. There's also the five-star quarterback that they had recruited recently, Julian Lewis. And there was this Deion Sanders Jr. video he posted last week in the locker room. And Julian Lewis can be heard saying, I'm just spectating future New York Giants quarterback. I'm so inspired I get to watch him and Travis Hunter every day. And so they're very clearly starting this push of just, it's got to be the Giants. I think it's clear to Deion.
Doesn't that seem un-Giant-like?
Yes.
To sign up for the whole Sanders circus?
Yes. But it's clear to the Giants, they're going to very publicly, I don't think they care which team it is as much as he has to be one. Like, he has to be viewed as the best player. So he's got to go number one. Because that's what Deion keeps saying. I don't know who it's going to be. I just know whoever's number one is taking him. And it's like, I do think New England would be wise. If they finish with the number one pick, I think they'd be wise to try and hold, if Tennessee's got to, hold them hostage. Just say, hey, we'll flip spots with you. But otherwise, we'll trade this to the Giants if you don't.
Why would, otherwise we'll trade it to the Giants.
Yeah, because then Tennessee comes up. Because this is something that San Francisco did years ago to the Bears. Where they were at two, they swapped with the Bears at three or something in that territory because the Bears wanted Trubisky. And the 49ers said, we'll trade it to somebody else and they'll come get Trubisky.
But are you penciling Tennessee and Cleveland in for quarterbacks?
Tennessee, I think, would definitely be interested in one because I don't think they... I mean, Brian Callahan has been vicious towards Will Levis all year.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, yeah. Honestly, mean. And so, I mean, I could absolutely see Brian Callahan saying, no, I need to have a quarterback here.
And the Browns?
Brown's not as much of a certainty.
Well, they're not going to stick with Watson.
No, they're not. But, I mean, they're stuck with him for 2 years. Do they want Shedeur to sit for 2 years? Do they want Cam Moore to sit for 2 years? Or do they say, hey, we're probably going to be bad next year, too. We're going to have another draft where maybe we like the quarterback class more than this one.
All right, let's get to your Cowboy phone calls. Take it wherever you want. You can go star up, star down, off-season, coaching decisions. You get your chance to rant on the D&M Leasing Hotline. And Jerry Jones with the viral video and audio of him getting embarrassed by filthy fans yesterday. The Jerry audio and your Cowboy calls at 877-881-1053 next.